This is an RNIB Connect radio podcast.
On Saturday, the 22nd of June, some of the world's greatest paratriathletes will be returning to South Wales to take part in the World's Triathlon Para Series. One of the British athletes competing is Oscar Kelly, who joins me now. Thanks for speaking to us today, Oscar.
Hi, Matt.
You've had some great results over the past year, Oscar, including coming second in the last World Triathlon Para Series to be held in Swansea. How do you enjoy competing in the UK?
There's nothing like it, really. We definitely have a home field advantage with the shoddy weather we sometimes have, being used to that. But yeah, there's nothing like a home crowd. Having raced here a few times now, you know, there isn't anyone that makes more noise when you go past than a British crowd. So it's something special.
For listeners who might not be familiar with paratriathlon, how does the competition itself work?
So for my category, which is the visually impaired category, we have two start times. For athletes who are fully blind, i.e. they can't see at all, they get a head start over athletes who are also registered blind but have some sort of eyesight. And we basically all compete for the same set of medals, and we're basically trying to chase them down over both swim, cycle and run. And we race the whole thing with one guide and, yeah, try and do it as quick as possible, I guess.
How did you get your start in paratriathlon? Did you specialise in one of those disciplines first before moving into triathlon more widely?
Not really. I wasn't a sporty kid growing up. I was that child who was picked last in PE for pretty much any sport, as you do. But I cycled to school a lot, and after being banned from cycling to school because my eyesight was getting worse, I decided I wanted to try a bit more cycling out, you know, extracurricularly, and then decided I'd quickly get bored of that. And I met someone just along the way who did paratriathlon. I was like, I'll give that a go. And I did a couple of triathlons, which are running and cycling. And then I was like, I should probably learn how to swim properly. And yeah, got picked up pretty quick and just went for it, give it a go, and enjoyed it. So yeah.
From cycling to school to taking part in triathlons is an incredible journey. British Triathlon are also thinking about the next generation of paratriathletes. What would you say to young people who might be thinking about taking part in sport but maybe haven't considered triathlon before?
I'd say it to anyone, not just young people, just give it a go. There's no harm in giving anything a go. I can totally understand the hesitance behind it, especially for a lot of people who haven't ridden a bike before or swam or whatever, but it's definitely my favourite sport. But you know, it's an experience either way. And before I got into paratriathlon, I had never been on tandem. I was riding solo bikes, probably quite recklessly, which is probably the reason why I like triathlon. But I've had to adapt so much to getting into the sport as it is that, you know, it's a learning experience for anyone that comes into it, no matter where you come from. So just join in, give it a go. British Triathlon have a great domestic series which they put on, which is pretty much as good as they can make it for anyone from grassroots to elite athletes. So yeah, please come and join us.
And you compete in the PTVI category with your guide runner, Charlie Harding. How does that relationship between the two of you impact on your race?
I think it impacts on us quite a lot, to be fair. Me and Charlie are very good friends. We're quite similar ages. We're both very young athletes. We're the youngest pairing there is internationally. Most athletes have a bigger age gap and everything with more seasoned guides and stuff. But I've always pushed that athlete-guide relationship. And it means that I feel like we don't have to communicate too much when we race. We're on the same wavelength for a lot of things. And it means that we just get our heads down, do the work. And because we think so similarly, we just, you know, it's an added bonus, which when you're competing against the world's best, you need every little thing you can get. And it's also just great to be going away, doing amazing races in amazing locations with one of your best friends.
And you mentioned communication there. How does that communication work while you're actually doing the race?
There's a lot going on. So swimming, you can't really do much. We do front crawl, your head's in the water, you can't hear anyone speak. So we have a system that works for us, which is Charlie taps me when I get to, well, in certain points in the race, which we'll discuss beforehand, but mostly when we get to buoys. So I know that I need to turn. I've still got some vision, so I can sort of just pop my head up and go, okay, there's a buoy. I know how much I'm meant to turn because we talked through it beforehand. And we're attached when we are racing, so I can feel through what we're attached through how far or close we are. And on the bike, it's sort of a lot of yelling. We don't have to communicate too much, but always checking up on each other, making sure we're both okay, both feeling good. And then on the run, he's sort of just cruising along a lot of the time, and I'm completely gassed, struggling to breathe. And he's just like, oh, come on, mate, you've got this. So runs pretty easy, but it's definitely sort of learning between the two of you what works best, and nothing that works well for one of you for one set of athletes will work well for another set of athletes. You've got to find what works for you.
And the World's Triathlon Paris Series makes stops all over the globe, Yokohama, Japan, Madrid in Spain, Montreal, Canada. Are there any particular challenges when you're competing in these more exotic locations?
They're all different, I'd say. It's always interesting to see how cycling is perceived in other countries. Some places are a lot more cycle friendly than other places, but they're all just so different that you can't really compare anything really. And you've got to go into things knowing, if you haven't been there before, knowing basically with a blank mind to be open to anything, expect the worst case scenario, and then be pleasantly surprised if it's great. If it's not so good, then you go, all right, we've done this before. All good.
And thinking ahead to Swansea in June, what's it like to have home support in these big races? Will it spur you on even more?
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, it's always a good race. The first year of Swansea was good, especially coming off the back of Commonwealth Games, having such a great experience with crowds there, and we had a great experience that year. But this year was even more. There were loads of people lined all the way around the run course, especially, and pretty much just running through a wall of noise the whole time, struggling to hear what Charlie's saying at times. But just the atmosphere's great, and because we don't compete in a stadium or anything like that, it's quite hard at times to get that feel in triathlon. But it's definitely, yeah, de definitely special when it does happen in those bigger races in certain locations. And as I said before, there's nothing like a British crowd.
Paratriathlete Oscar Kelly, we wish you the very best of luck in the World Triathlon Paris Series in Swansea on Saturday, the 22nd of June. And thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.